Thank you. Welcome, welcome, Grace Point Church. Welcome, welcome also Grace Point Church Online. Thank you for worshiping with us here online and in person. We still have a lot of people that are worshiping with us online. So thank you, Grace Point Church, for worshiping with us online and also in person today. I say happy Father's Day to all of you that are watching and all of you that are here today. We celebrate. You know, things are different, of course, here with our service times and our services and online ministry. So I'm thankful that you are adjusting to that and being patient. This is just our second week back, but we've had the first two, which we knew services, a lot of people in the first two services, fewer in the third service. But thank you for coming to this service because it does help in terms of spacing things out and having smaller crowds. That's really what we want to continue to do as we walk through this. So we're grateful that you are here today celebrating Father's Day with us. Now, I want to say, let me share a couple things before we jump into the message. I want to kind of first talk a little bit about just how we can respond just briefly to trials, to struggles, to suffering, to things that are going on in our country today. And then I want to move into Father's Day. Now, Father's Day, when I think of Father's Day, I know, because I've talked to many that, first of all, we celebrate fathers and dads, and we want to do that. But also, I recognize that Father's Day can be difficult for some people. Some people, this may be the first year that you've lost your dad. Maybe he's with the Lord now. And so when you think of Father's Day, it's difficult, certainly. Or maybe it's not just this year, maybe it's a number of years ago, but it can still be a bit of a challenge and a difficult day. So I want to remember that group of people today as I share and as I pray in just a moment. And then also there's some who would say, you know, when I think of Father's Day, it's hard because the relationship I have with my father is not everything I wish and want it to be or wanted it to be in the past. And so that can bring some challenges too. So in both of those situations and others, I hope that this morning, our time of worship can encourage you. The teaching of the word, I know every time we teach, God encourages in some way and meets you right where you are. When you look around at recent events, things that are going on in our country, it can certainly leave us reeling, if you will. And many times when you look around, worry can be a natural response. When you turn on the television, which as I said before, you have to be careful about how much that you do right now, but when you turn on the television and you hear things like, well, there might be a second wave of COVID, and you turn it on and you see more violent images playing out, and you start to see a lot of these things, and it can bring anxiety, it can bring uncertainty, it can bring fear. You know, a couple of years ago as I started preaching on that, it's really on my heart of encouraging people that are dealing with anxiety and depression. And so these times, and maybe not even related to what's going on in the country, it may just be something going on in your life that brings anxiety or unrest or fear. And we know what we're supposed to do, right? But sometimes it's hard to get to that place. So what is it that we're supposed to do? So one of the things I want to share with you this morning before we jump into the message in Colossians chapter 1, one of the things that we can do, and the Lord has showed me this, you know, recently too, is that there's of course great power in the Word of God, right? I certainly preach that it's in the Word, but even more specifically, there's great power also in the Psalms. There's great in any part of the Word of God, right? But many times the Psalms were written in very distressing situations, more so than what we deal with. I don't think any of us, for the most part, we've ever hidden from wicked men bent on killing us like David did as he wrote in the midst of that. Few of us have suited up for war, some have, but very few of us have done that. And or experiencing other crises in your life. It can be a number of different things. But what I want to just say to you this morning, that if you find yourself in that place of crisis, whatever has brought it, to consider this week turning to the Psalms I like what one writer says about it. He says this: when our pulse is racing, our hands trembling, and our breath shallow, we need poetic beauty to slow us down. Take us by the hand and gently lead us to truth. Though the context in which the Psalms, he writes, were composed may seem remote from us, their desperation is not. They often capture precisely what we're feeling. They give us language to address God when our words fail us. The psalmist cries for deliverance. It's almost as though lending their voice when we have lost ours. So as you read through the Psalms, you see that sense of struggle and sense of desperation. So as we begin, and I want to pray for us as we start this message before I really preach this message. But so I want to just read, like, for example, Psalm 121. Okay, I want to read this, and you can just kind of just listen, and then this week maybe, or if you're facing something, just today or tomorrow, whatever, that this discipline, man, of just opening to the Psalms. And you know, Romans chapter 12 talks about the power of the Word of God to transform us. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now look, here's the deal. I've preached on this many times before, but God just reminds me about it, especially when I deal with anxiety, is circumstantially driven. If I don't intentionally transform my mind, we're all bent this way to the flesh. We all are. And that's why Paul talks about this war between the spirit and the flesh. And so if I am not intentional, right, in renewing my mind so God can transform my thoughts of fear, so God can transform my thoughts of worry, so God can transform my, if I'm not doing that intentionally, I'm going to be continuing to go that way. Right, and fear increases and rises, and worry and anxiety starts to dominate and control, and I can't sleep, I can't eat, I can't think clearly, I can't start, all that stuff starts to happen to me. And so what I have to do, what we have to do according to the Word of God, is we have to reset, we have to renew, we have to transform. How does that happen? Well, like the Psalm, for instance, this Psalm 121, Psalm 120, listen to this. So I pause, and then I read. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Okay, so without preaching through this psalm, see, that shows us, first of all, the cry, the need for help, all right, which is good. You want to be at that place of humility, that dependence. This thing right here, whatever it is, man, this thing, not by myself, no way. I cannot, right? And so he's crying out. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Okay, obviously presupposing you need help. My help comes from the Lord. And then there's this declaration of the power of God. Who made heaven and earth? Okay, it's just a reminder of the one who's helping you created all this stuff, man. This is who you're looking to. That's certainly counsel and encouragement, but first and foremost, you're going vertical. Right. And then this is what the help that he gives is the following text here. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will not slumber nor sleep. So you see, it's not about what you're going to do to make it through it. It's all about what God is going to provide for you in it. The Lord is your helper, he said. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on the right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. So I think we're bent this way. Be careful, because if you're not doing this, and you're going to go this, you're going to get a critical, negative spirit. You're going to walk in the flesh. You're going to do all these things. All right, but the promise here, the help from God, is he'll keep you from all evil. And he will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. So let's pray. So Father, it's your word right there. I believe that your word is the one that stills and calms our hearts when we're afraid, when we're uncertain, when we're we're scared when we don't know what tomorrow holds or the future. And so we circle back, and I pray that we will continue to look to you and your word and the Psalms and the power that is there that we miss so often because we do not dwell with you in your word to do what we cannot do in our hearts. So we recognize, God, our need for you every day. I pray for those who might be walking through struggles right now, God. May you just be their helper. May they see you there. May they look to you. And I know that you are faithful to provide. We are thankful, God, for your presence today. I pray you speak through your word, God, powerfully. Our hearts are in tune with you today, God. Transform us. Transform us, God. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. So Colossians chapter 1, we've been walking verse by verse through the book of Colossians, right? Colossians chapter 1, and now in verse 9, we're at this prayer that Paul is praying for the Colossians, and I have been dwelling on this one verse for a couple weeks. I'm going to do it one more time, and then we're going to move quicker through the rest of the chapter in Colossians 1. But in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, especially, is where I want to focus. And then, so this message is, I'm dialing in a little bit more with dads because it's Father's Day. Right, but here's what I want you to know. Online people too. Here's what I want you to know. That dad or not, this applies to you too. So I'm going to share these Christ-like principles, these truths that we must have in our life to be the dads that God wants us to be. But it works for all of us. Right, so you can just take it as I share these things, like the first one in a minute, is to be authentic. And I'm going to talk about your what you say and what you do needs to be consistent, right? So I dial in with dads, but that's for all of us, okay? So that's not, you know, so regardless of where you're at, I think this is going to be encouraging, I hope, to you. So verse 10, though, here's kind of where I'm springing from. At Colossians 1, we've been going verse by verse. Verse 9, he talks about praying that they would have the knowledge of the will of God and wisdom, understanding what spiritual wisdom and understanding. And then he says, so as to, verse 10. So he wants to get, he's praying that they would have this knowledge of God even more ways, so that they would walk well, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Okay, that's our heartbeat, all of us, right? Fully pleasing to him. So all of us, regardless of what is before us, that God wants us to walk in a way that is in a manner worthy of the Lord and fully pleasing to him. Now, I want to just come back specifically and talk what that looks like for us as dads, myself included. Let me say also say this, that we've all got work to do here. I do. Right? I want this to be, I'll press in a little bit on dads. Challenge a little bit, but it's none of us are perfect. But I think it's important for us to talk about this for just some time this morning and show you biblically what is walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. What does that look like as a father? What is my responsibility? If you're not a dad, again, these things still apply. Number one, here's the first thing. Walking worthy of the Lord as a dad means that I must be authentic. That's the first thing. Now, these are Christ-like principles that I see in his life, right? So, in the life of Christ. So, I must be authentic. In other words, be consistent in your faith, right? Who you are in private must be consistent with who you are in public. I'm not talking about being perfect. We all make mistakes. I get it. But I'm talking about what defines us, you know, is what I say I believe. Does that match up with how I'm walking? Listen to this in Matthew chapter 23, verse 3 says, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. Heard it, practice what you preach. These brothers, I mean, religious leaders of the day, and Jesus is saying, listen, but don't do as they do, because they They preach, but they do not practice. So it's duplicity. So for all of us, right? All of us, dads or not, we all must be authentic in our faith. That what we say we believe must match up with how we live. That what public must be consistent with private. Also, first, be authentic. That's the message we need to send to our children too, and our children need to see that. Now, brings a lot of things when that happens, okay? There's two things specifically, not on your outline, that it brings. It brings, in the life of your kids, it brings stability and it brings validity, those two things. So first of all, an authentic Christian life, not perfect, but authentic. In other words, what I say I believe, I'm living that out, public and private. It brings stability into the lives of my four children, of your children. Truth brings that stability. You living out what you believe, if it's not consistent, then it brings insecurity into the heart of your children and uncertainty in their hearts. Inconsistency between what I say I believe and what I do brings insecurity into the heart of my children. The same is true for you. So when we, though, are authentic, and what I say I believe, I'm living out in my life, it brings stability to the kids. Other words, they're thinking, I don't know, what do I do here? What do I do? I mean, I hear this message, but I'm seeing this. So do I go this? Do I go this way? What is this? Is this? And they become insecure. For other reasons too, but that's a big one. So it brings stability when you are authentic in your faith to your children. Stability. Second thing is it brings validity to the gospel in the sense that the gospel you say they believe, then they see you then living it out. Right? And we pray and that it then creates that desire in their life. Right? As they see the gospel making a difference, Christ making a difference in your life. Brings validity to that. I want this too. I see the truth of it. I see how it's impacting my dad's life. And so it brings stability in the life and hearts of your kids. It brings validity. It starts with us being consistent. That we actually, we live out what we say we believe. Number two, here's the second thing, and these are in no particular order. The second thing that I think walking worthy of the Lord as a dad means, for all of us, but as a dad means that I will always seek to be with Jesus. To be with Jesus. Listen to this, Acts 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished. And here's why. This last one. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Now they could tell by looking at these guys. They could tell by looking at these guys that these guys had been with Jesus. Same is true, I think, for us, isn't it? As people of God, as Christ followers, all of us. Now for us as dads, listen to the most important, here's my message in a summary statement. The most important thing that you dads can do every single day of your life for your children, for your wife, and for you, for your children and for your wife, is to every single day is to be with Jesus. Amen? Most important thing you can do. The most important thing you can do for your children. Because when you and I do that, and they recognized they've been with Jesus. They see it. I would argue opposite is also true. I'm not. That's going to come out. It's going to come out, man. It's going to come out in my tone of voice. It's going to come out of my lack of patience. It's going to come out of my... Right? Now, again, we all have flashes. We have stuff. I get that. I'm going to talk about that. I'm talking about that. It shouldn't define us, though. And so, just like Psalm 121... To be, we, it recognizes our need for right? For me, look, I mean, you've read this. To do the things that God has called us to do. I don't know about you. You know, there's no way we can do that in our own strength. There's no way. It can't happen. We must be with Jesus to do what he's called us to do. And then as a husband, as a father, that I must, man, have that dependence. I recognize apart from that, I'm a failure. I'm not going to make it. So we must be with Jesus every single day. We fight for that time with the Lord. Pastor David Roseberry, I was reading just some article he wrote, and he says this, the pastor, he says, after 35 years of pastoring, marital counseling, and conversations, he says, I've come to see that many men simply do not understand the role they have in the life of their children and family. The findings, he said, that I have read suggest what every pastor knows through experience. Fathers shape their children's faith, period. Period. There's no escaping that. Now, I want to pause here for just a minute. What I'm about to read, that and the statistics, the data that he quotes, is where's that leave single moms, right? And I think of that as I'm writing, and we have a number in our church family. What I would say to that is, single moms, you keep pursuing Christ like you are pursuing Christ, and you keep praying bold prayers, and then we believe you're going to be exception. Your kids will, that God meets you right where you are as you're doing what you're doing, and it flows into the hearts of your kids. So it's not to downplay in any way the role of a mom or a single parent. He goes on to quote, he says, consider this data collected from Promise Keepers, Baptist Press, and a study done by the Lutheran Church. The data says this, if a father does not go to church regularly, only one child in 50 will grow up as a regular worshiper. One in 50. But the data goes on to say if the father does attend church regularly, nearly 35 out of 50 make worship and church a part of their adult life. So we have this responsibility as men of God to lead spiritually. It starts with what? Being with Jesus, and then recognize the importance also, I think, of the local church for our family and for our children. Now, that's one of the things my dad did early on, man. My dad, I remember, as a small guy, a little guy, we moved, and the first thing he did is he found a church home. And he got us into the church, right? And every single Sunday, we were at church. Every single, as a matter of fact, they still go to that same church we grew up in. When I go back home, we visit that church. He knew the importance. He knew the importance of having his family and his kids in church. There's great power in that. And I think we as fathers have that responsibility to lead well. And it starts, though, with us being with Jesus, with us being authentic in our faith. Let me give you the third one. Number three, walking worthy of the Lord as a dad means I will always be available, and specifically to my kids. Always be available, and to my wife. Psalm 90, verse 12 says this, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. So the idea behind that text, I think, is the time, the importance of time. To number our days. So for us as dads and moms, with our kids, but as dads, I'll talk to myself, is I must never be too busy for my kids. Never be too busy. And this one can get us, because what we're doing is we're out providing for our families, which is what we need to do. It's a good thing, right? And we need to do that. But we gotta make sure we're not neglecting the ones we are providing for. Now, I do think, this is my opinion, I'll just step in kind of an opinion mode here. I do think in my life, and I've seen in others, but I know in my life, now my kids are older, my four are older, 21, 22, 23, and 26. But when they were younger, now it's different, but when mine were younger, there were certainly seasons, and I think this happens, there were certainly seasons in my life that I left before they got up, and I got home, they were already in bed. I get that, man. I think that happens. I don't think that's necessarily, in my opinion, I'm not saying that that's necessarily wrong. You just have to fight for ways to find that time with him. I'd try to find, go to school and eat lunch with him, do different things during that season. Now, I'm not talking about a season for 2-3 years, right? I'm trying a shorter period of time, whether something's going on at work or for me at the church or a building program, whatever it was, right, that there were times gone before, home after. That happens, but that shouldn't define us. But here's the other thing. Even in the midst of that, though, we always want to make ourselves available to our kids, to our spouse. Back in that day, when I was pastoring another church, cell phones were not as popular and didn't do everything. You know, if Karen wanted to get a hold of me or my kids, I had to call the church office, go to the receptionist, my administrative assistant gives it to me. Now, obviously, right, we all text each other or call our cell phones. But back in the day, that's kind of how it worked. And I remember I said to my administrative assistant, I said, now look, when Karen calls, she always goes straight. You'll just put her straight through, okay? As my kids were starting to grow up and get older and run around the church, if they were with mom and they always came over to see me, I said, I'm always available for my wife and for my children. That was really important, that message was sent to them, even though I was fulfilling my job responsibilities, and they always knew that, and I always wanted to make sure they knew that, and the people around knew that, and my administrative assistant knew that my wife and my kids never had to get in line, and they still don't. They don't get in line. There is no line for them. And I believe if you ask them, they know that. Now, you got to use common sense. Does that mean, I get it, you know, like if you're in some high, you know, real important board meeting or something, I'm not saying you know, your wife needs to call and get you out of the board meeting because she wants to know what you want for dinner tonight, right? I'm not saying you need to do that kind of crazy stuff. But there's also this understanding that this accessibility and I'm always available for my kids sends this powerful, I think, powerful message of value that I place on them, right? It's not to devalue. It's not to devalue other people. When I say to you, don't take it personally, but my wife and children are far more important than anybody in this church. Now, if I didn't say that, I think that would be wrong. Does that say you're not important? I'm not saying you're not important. But I am saying to you and to them that they're here, right? And they have to know. My wife needs to know. Your wife needs to know. Your kids need to know. They compete with no one. There is no competition. She needs to know that, hands down. Not a marriage sermon, but she needs to know that. She competes with no one. That she knows and feels that priority, that importance. She doesn't have to vie for that or compete with that. Same with my kids, right? Even in their 20s, you know, if my kids, you know, are calling me or need me, then they know I'm taking that call, man. I'm picking that up. And I think that's important for us as parents and as dads. You know, now look, you can still work harder than anybody in the office, right? And still place great value on everybody. Again, you need to hear that all the way through, man. I'm not saying I don't care about people or other people aren't important. I'm not saying that at all. Right? So you can also do great and value people, but you send that message to your wife and to your children. So I think that's extremely important. It says a lot to your kids. One writer says this way about time and love, says this: the best use of life is love. The best expression of love is time, and the best time to love is now. Be available. Time, love, communicates a strong message to your children, to your wife. Number four, be their biggest fan. Be their biggest fan. Here we go. We got to go fast. Be their biggest fan. Cheer them on. Whatever God calls them to do, it may be opposite of what you did or what you like or what you were into as a kid or into as an adult. It doesn't matter. But whatever it is, they're in, you cheer them on. You be their biggest fan. They need to know that. Kids need to feel that from you. Philippians 1:6, and this is a familiar verse, but it's God, the idea of God's doing a work in their heart. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So God is doing that work in their heart. It spiritually encourage them on too, right? And cheer them on. One writer says this, wrote to his son, he said, listen, son, half-hearted Christians are the most miserable people of all. He said, be all out for him, for Jesus. Man, I don't care what it is that God calls you to do, as long as you love the Lord with all your heart. Cheer them on, first and foremost, in that, in their spiritual walk. Number five, be loving. Always be loving. Always be loving. Love them even when it's hard, when it's tough, when you disagree with them, and that's going to happen from the time they're young to when they get old. It's going to happen. Older. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, man, gives us direction. Listen to this. This is exactly how we should respond, all of us, I think, to one another, but context here with our kids. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Well, there's that phrase again. He told the Colossians that, Ephesians now. So, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Now, verse 2, we don't have time to dwell here, but now he's going to tell them what that looks like. Okay, you ready? This is what it looks like for all of us. You want to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Here it is, verse 2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. That's how we all walk in a way that's worthy of the gospel. Right now, that right there, that's not going to happen in our own strength, right? Psalm 121. There's going to be times when you disagree with your kids. You're going to agree to disagree, right? And some of it might be real tense and difficult issues. But the one thing they must always know is that you are always loving them unconditionally, no strings attached. No strings attached. I've had to agree to disagree with my kids. Am I going to agree? I mean, I agree with everything they do and still love. This is a whole principle. I've preached on this before. This is a major issue. Just, our country in general, long before this other stuff had happened. But it's the choice. I won't say ability because we all have the ability. It's the choice to agree to disagree and still love people. That's just gone out the window, hasn't it? We can't disagree and still love. We have to disagree, and if we disagree, we hate. Even if we don't, we're accused of. All right, so this is where, so go back to context with our kids. We can agree to disagree, but we still love, and so they need to know that, right? Don't ever let them walk away without assurance of that. So you say it often, you mean it always. Don't ever leave them to wonder about that. Be loving. It's Christ-like. It's what we're called. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. And then the last one, walking worthy of the Lord as a dad, means I will always, number 6, be clear. And specifically, be clear about where I stand, where we stand in our faith spiritually. Be clear about where we stand. Your kids don't need to wonder what you stand for in your faith. They need to know exactly where you are. They need to know that you take God seriously. It happens, of course, in being authentic. But Joshua 24, verse 15, this is a great one to end with. Joshua says, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day then whom you will serve. So he's saying, if you're not going to choose my God, then go choose who you want to serve. Whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you will dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He was very clear. Now we need to be clear. We need to be clear with our kids, with our family, about our faith. Now, I do think you declare it at times. I don't think you have to preach a sermon to them every week. I don't think you have to yell it at them, but I think there are times you declare that. But there's also, I think there's times when that happens through praise. When you are, and I pray it's a natural outflow of you being with Jesus and being authentic, that there are times when your praise, as you're praising and thanking God and they hear you, not just for the purpose of them of you making a point. At times that has to happen. But so, but it becomes very natural. For example, let me give you one example, then I'm going to read something, we'll close together. Is, let's just say, for example, you go to the beach for a vacation, and you all are sitting around on the beach, and you say, man, I am sure thankful to God. I'm so thankful that God has given us this trip together. He's been so good to us. Just that one statement right there, man. That's powerful. Now, your kids may not, you know, I'm not saying they're going to look at you and go like this, but it's going into their mind. It's going into their mind, right? And you don't have to go on vacation to do that. You can do that at home. You can do that, you know, in a lot of different situations. But that is a way that you're being clear. I need to do that with my kids continually. Look what God provided for you. Man, you got that apartment. I mean, you should, look what God did for you. Do you see what God did for you there? You see what that does? Man, that keeps pointing them right to the Lord. And I'm going to keep doing that as long as they... And so we want to be clear, right, of what we believe. And then as we're being clear, as we're being with Jesus, and then they see that. Now, someday when I finish this life, whenever that is, and even before that, but whenever that is, and God takes me home to heaven, I don't know about you, but I want to be remembered not for what I accomplished, but for who I was. I don't really want to be remembered for, well, yeah, I mean, and it's okay, it's not bad because God has accomplished these things, but I first and foremost, I want to be remembered as Pastor Dave, for he was in ministry all his life. That's good, and I like that. Or he started Grace Point, or did this, or got his master's or doctor, whatever, all that stuff, okay? Again, God provided for me and all that, and I'm not saying that's not important, but I don't know about you, but man, what's more important to me is not all the accomplishments, but for people to say, here's one thing I know about that brother. That man walked with Jesus. Who we are, not all we accomplish. That legacy lives forever, man. People forget about what you accomplish. They don't forget who you are. Your kids, that's what they remember. Remember who you are, man. Not everything you've accomplished. Be clear about the gospel, man. Be clear about what you believe. I want to read this in Ray Ortland. So his father was a pastor, Ray Ortland Sr., great man. I used to read him. I still do read him a lot. Went to be with the Lord, great pastor, preacher, and he wrote about his father. So I read it just my own devotional time. But one of the things that caught me was this last thing, and then we're praying together. He says this. He writes this. He says, early on Sunday, June 22nd, 2007, my dad woke up in his hospital room in Newport Beach. He knew it was finally his day of release from this life. Like, he knew that, man. God. He had the nurse call the family in. My wife, Janie, and I, so this is Ray Jr., who goes by Bud, who's writing this. He says, my wife, Janie, and I were far away in Ireland from ministry that day. We didn't know everything that was happening. It was happening so fast. But the family gathered at Dad's bedside, and they read scripture. They sang hymns. Dad spoke a word of patriarchal blessing and an admonition to each one, a message suited to encourage each one, each kid, and to guide them. He pronounced over them all the blessing of Aaron in Numbers 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And then, quietly, he fell asleep. Later, I asked my sister about Dad's message to me since I wasn't able to be there. It was this. Tell Bud, ministry isn't everything. Jesus is. He says, my dad's dying words summed up his parenting and his whole life. Jesus is everything. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Jesus, man. Thank you for Jesus. We recognize our need for Jesus every moment of every day. And thank you for your faithfulness, God, for your word, for your provision, for your help in every situation. We look to you, God. And I pray, God, for every person in this room this afternoon, Lord, would you give them encouragement? Would you give them hope? And regardless of whatever they may face, and some may face some hard times, may you give them comfort and help and peace and strength. More than anything else, may every one of us, every single day, may we desire and may we make a commitment to be with Jesus. It's in his name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us at Grace Point Church Online. Thank you. I pray you have a great week, and I pray you join us next Sunday morning again, 8, 10, and 12 o'clock. Until then, we'll see you and hope you have a blessed week. All right, Grace Point Church family, thank you so much for being here. Stand up. Let me just pray for you as you go. And after I pray, you'll see the staff in the aisles, and they'll help you out. It's not a big crowd, so you can probably go out about any door you want to go out. And you'll get a $100 bill on your way out for the 12 o'clock service. Happy Father's Day, okay? Just see Guy Earl if you don't get it, all right? All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you. This is the day that you've made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. So I pray, Father, for a great week for everyone here as we go our way, and may we continue to walk with you and to seek to honor you and walk in a way it's worthy of the gospel. Thank you, Father, for your provision. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Have a good week. Happy Father's Day.